This is the 5-Point Play Podcast, the Die Hard Duke Basketball Fans Podcast. UNC gets round two. as you can tell, I mean, there was a lot of yelling going on last night. UNC takes round two. They get the sweep. They get the bragging rights. We got AC. We got Pobs. You know, live on location. Anytime that you win against UNC, anytime that you lose against UNC, you're going to have just wild ranges of emotions on either side. When you win, especially when you get a sweep, the reaction is we can beat anybody, and you know we're going to go to the Final Four and we're going to win it all. And the thing is that when you do beat the other side, especially in a sweep, you get to talk your shit. You get to talk your shit, and the other side has to sit there and take it. So all the people that are out there saying, you know, Duke's done, all these things like that, you get to talk that shit. Like, you do. And then the other side of it is, you know, when you get swept, we're done, it's over, you know, we're not good enough. And, you know, there's got to be some kind of happy medium in there where we got to try to find it and try to keep it real here. And so we wanted to give, you know, instant reactions, you know. So, Pablo, I'll give you the floor first. You know, anything you want to say, it's not like, you know, today we're going to go through and, you know, have like a structured format like we normally do on the 5-Point Play. This is just, you know, instant reactions of the regular season, the Carolina game specifically. And then we'll come back and do another podcast earlier in the week. Talking about the postseason, ACC tournament, and a lot kind of stuff. But Pablo, I'll let you go first. You got the mic, and you can talk about, you know, kind of your feelings on everything post UNC.
Yeah. So y'all can hear me, all right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, obviously I'm driving in my car or whatever. My wife is driving. I'm just riding. But yeah, man. Safe and sure. Like. Tough loss, you know what I mean? My wife, she gets to brag a little bit. Her team, UK, they won, so she was talking crazy last night, whatever. So it is what it is. But, nah, man, I just feel like, you know, I'm a little disappointed, for sure, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not, like, you know, to the point where I'm just ready to give up on anything, because at the end of the day, I know, you know, what this team is capable of. I think they know what they're capable of, and I think they're probably more disappointed than, obviously, they're probably more disappointed than us, you know what I'm saying, as fans or whatever. I just think that North Carolina, they played a really good game, and if you look at the box score, like just a team, overall team stats on both teams, man, it was kind of like the first game, man, that they played, and where you just really, just like, damn, we could have won that game, you know what I'm saying, we should have won that game. It's not ideal that, what did Cormac have, 31?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? That was the game right there. You know what I mean? You take Duke did everything that they were supposed to do other than make shots, defend in transition well enough. You know what I mean? They gave up. I think North Carolina out-rebounded us by, like, 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's huge. You know what I'm saying? That's huge. Like, North Carolina got a lot of offensive rebounds and putbacks at key points of the game, you know what I mean? Where we start to, you know, really get to 4 or 5, you know, whoever hit a shot or get off in the rebound or whoever, you know what I mean? So it was just tough, man. I think that we kind of waited a little too long to wake up. Yeah. I'm not, like I said, I'm not too discouraged, man. I think I saw a lot of positives, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to give credit to North Carolina, you know what I mean? They came in with a specific game plan. We came in with our game plan. They executed theirs a little better. They only had two guys in double figures. We had four, you know what I mean? But they also had guys with like 8 points, you know, 9 points here and there, whatever. We pretty much held Armando in check, which was a good thing. Flip started to play big in the second half, you know, a little too late, but, you know, it just is what it is, man. I still feel positive, you know what I'm saying, about the team and, you know, about everything. I think us not having Caleb was a big loss. But overall, man, like I said, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you said a lot there. A lot of it I agree with. I thought that we lost the game in the first 7 minutes of the game. It was 12-54 left in the first half, and Carolina's up 21-6. Game's over. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, you have to claw and fight your way back so much at that point that, you know, the only thing I think I got right in the prediction podcast was that the first 10 minutes anything can happen, and then I thought Duke would roll after that. The problem is you can't get down 21-6 against a good team. Like, my wife went to UNC. She's a huge UNC person, so, you know, I'm taking my lumps. That ain't easy. But the thing is that, you know, she was talking about the NC State game and how, you know, we kind of did the same thing against NC State, except NC State's not good. You know, like, you can't do it against good teams. Mm-hmm. And kind of what Pablo was just talking about, like, you can't come into the game, and I thought we were out of sync. You can use whatever term you want to use, AC. I thought we were out of sync. And against a good team, they take advantage of it. You let Cormac Ryan get two open threes in the corner, and he sees a big bucket after that. We talked about it with Jared McCain after he knocked one down against NC State in the second half. He sees a big net, and the rest is history. He's a good shooter. Like, his stats may not show it, but he's a good shooter. He's a good player. Of course, he had the game of his life in that point. But, you know, we didn't adjust to that either. Mm-hmm. He was on fire, and, you know, all credit to him for that. But Duke came out flat. A lot of times that happens in an orange rivalry game like this, where, especially on senior night, I totally get it. I do. But against, if you're a great team, then you learn how to handle that. I thought that we had turned the corner, and that's why I was so confident coming into this game. And they just came out completely flat, and Carolina punched them right in the face. And from there on out, you know, I think, you know, we probably won the rest of the game, you know, but it's a 40-minute game. It's not a, you know, oh, what did you do from the 12:54 mark on? No, it's a 40-minute game. So those first 7 minutes, they count in the 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you got fucking destroyed. Like, you got punched in the mouth. They got whatever they wanted. All the 50-50 balls. Again, Pablo brought that up. Like, you know, all those 50-50 balls, they got them.
Mm-hmm.
The tippings. And so, like, you're looking at the box score, and it's a little deceiving. You know, oh, we only had 7 turnovers. But they, you know, they had 13. We had 15 points off of turnovers. They had 14 points off of our 7. They turned every one of our turnovers into points. That's what a good team does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Carolina's going to win it all when they're going to go to the Final Four. But if you're a Duke fan saying, well, they're not that good, well, then neither are we. Neither are we then. Because they just beat us twice in the same fashion they beat us in the first game. And that's why it was so frustrating. Because it was the same exact thing. You know, the 50-50 balls. Like, we got real lucky on a couple of them. We got really lucky with the shot clock violation with about 2 minutes to go in the game. And then the first thing we do is we turn it over. That summed the game up to me. The end of the first half. I'm fine with the shot that Proctor took. I don't understand why we didn't go 2-for-1. You know, it was 38, 39 seconds left. Proctor has the advantage. And we had momentum. Why did we slow it down? There was plenty of time. Like, that these are little things, though. Like, when you look back, and then they come down, they miss a shot, and they get the tip in. The extra hustle play.
Little things matter in a 5-point game.
Exactly. And so, to me, that was the frustrating thing. Like, every little play, every loose ball, every time that we needed something we didn't get, every time they needed something they did get it. And that's the difference between these two teams right now. Is one is a lot tougher than the other one. And you can't be tough when, you know, it's easy to be tough when shots are falling and everything's going your way. It's how do I stay tough from the fact that the game starts till the game ends? How do I be tough during that? Mm-hmm. And isn't tough for 40 minutes. They're tough for 31 minutes or 32 minutes. They're not tough for 40 minutes. And UNC was tough basically for 40 minutes in both games, in my opinion. But I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, no, they were. They were the better team. They executed their stuff better. I thought we did a great job defensively, being able to kind of keep Armando and Ingram and RJ Davis in check. Very difficult to do. We were able to do that. That's nice, and I like that they did something that I didn't know that this UN team was going to be capable of doing, which is if you told me you take those three out, and then you say UNC still wins the game and scores 84, I'd be like, how is it possible? Cormac Ryan, I mean, like, kudos to him, man. He stepped up. He did the thing he did to us during the COVID season, where he came out and just shot, talked trash, and did his, and just came to work, and it was easy for him. He had fun. Like, that's kind of how it went, man, unfortunately. So it is what it is. They were better than us. Hats off to them. Respect to them for being able to handle that and do that. And they did it well. And, you know what I mean? So, like, that was tough. That was a tough watch, man. It really was. And
yeah,
it's because I felt like we had turned a corner. I think I didn't think we did a lot of the things that I thought we could have done with how Sean Stewart had been playing and stuff like that. I know after on the spaces, I think we were talking about the zone stuff a lot. In the time, I was like, yeah, zone. You know, zone wouldn't have helped. Zone wouldn't have helped what happened, especially on that rebounding side of the ball. It was hustle plays, man. It was who was tougher, who was – and that showed through for sure. It showed through in both games. So hats off to UNC. The last time you heard me say that, hats off to UNC.
Kind of breaking it down a little bit more. I was joking earlier with my wife that I bet you that Cormac Ryan in his next game goes 1-for-11. But the problem as a Duke fan is that's sour grapes. Because in the biggest stage, in the biggest game, he did hit those shots. So if he goes 1-for-11 or 0-for his next 100, it doesn't matter because he did it on the big stage and he gets the kudos. And if you don't like what UNC did after the game, then fucking beat him. Like,
I'm more disappointed in us than UNC. Like, you can talk, you can wave, you can do all that. They're making a tradition out of that now. They beat us in Cameron, they run over to the crazies immediately and start.
If you don't like it, you fucking beat them.
That's fine, yeah. But we can't be throwing stuff at them. We can't be throwing water on them and all the stuff we were doing. And then at the same time, be mad when teams rush the floor on us and stuff. We can't do that.
You can't get mad at Henson for jumping on the table. And if you don't like it, then fucking beat them. We obviously talked about the core storming thing, and I don't want to end core storming. I'm not going to make this reaction podcast about that.
Yeah,
just don't touch players.
Yeah,
and so don't throw shit at players either.
Yeah,
period. Like, that's on us. So that's on us. Like, it's ugly.
That precedent. You don't.
Don't sit there and cry about the core storming and then have the audacity to do that. That's just ugly. But whatever. When we're talking about the game, we got out rebounded. As Pablo talked about, but to me it was, it came down to certain players. Ingram was 5 of 12, 0-for-2 from three, but he also had 10 rebounds. He had 14 points. He impacted the game in a lot of different ways. To me, I think he's the player that we need Mark Mitchell to be. And Mark had turned the corner and then regressed right back. And so, I wanted to start with that comparison first and kind of get your thoughts on that. I thought if you're going to call Mark Mitchell the X factor for this team, you can't go in there and give 19 negative minutes. Like, there were negative minutes. He missed his 1-3. I don't give a shit about that. I'm fine with him taking the shot. He almost airballs his first free throw, and I think that kind of tips away his aggressiveness, because even when he wasn't shooting the ball well, he was always hitting his foul shots. And now he's not even doing that. And so I think that takes away some of his aggressiveness. He doesn't even want to get to the line. He doesn't want to get fouled. And you're 6'9", 230, athletic as shit, and you're going out there and, I don't know what he had.
What do you have, 3 points?
Four rebounds, 3 points,
three
field goals attempted. Like, that's not good enough. And you're not doing it on defense. But Ingram,
I thought defensively he wasn't terrible.
I thought he was bad. I really do. Like,
I mean, he's one of the reasons why Bacot and Ingram both had bad games. He still recovered. He still played well enough to be on the floor at times, but obviously he got pulled for Ryan Young, down the stretch. So
and that's his volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, that's a part of it. That's absolutely part of it. It's absolutely part of it.
Just, like, I don't know what to say. Like, I hate being, you know, critical of players. I do, but in the...
It's still the bugaboo of this team, though. Mark Mitchell having a bad day for us means a loss. Like, I thought we might have remedied that a little bit with Sean Stewart's inception, but clearly that was not the case, and clearly John didn't want to use Sean in that Mark Mitchell role as he did against NC State.
Yeah.
Not sure why. I don't know what happened there. If he was seeing something in game that Sean wasn't executing based on what they had practiced. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. But for some reason, Sean was not a part of that game plan against UNC when Mark Mitchell wasn't effective. So,
yeah, I mean, Sean Stewart got 7 minutes. TJ Power got 4. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know, we talked about the rotation now. Okay, we got our rotation. Mm-hmm. Then fucking use it. You know, like Sean Stewart had 4 fouls. Let him get the 5th. Yeah. Let him get the 5th. What do you have to lose? You know?
Yeah.
And Ryan Young, bless his heart, man. Like, he gives 100 every time. But, you know, he's limited. And that is what it is. Like, so give Sean more minutes. Give TJ Power more opportunities. And at worst, TJ Power comes in and stretches the floor. So, you know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me from that perspective. Maybe that gets cleaned up. I thought John kind of got outcoached in both of those matchups.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, because he didn't stick to his game plan. I don't know why, man. I don't know why you go through all these games that you just went through, make these changes in these games that you just went through, and then not implement half of those changes in the game that you're playing. And you know, I mean, again, maybe they were seeing something happening during the game they didn't want to utilize a part of the game plan because they didn't think it worked. I don't know, but I mean, what else do you have to lose? I mean, we were coming back, we were squeezing the lead, so I guess they were happy with what was happening. But I mean, like defensively, defensively, we did not switch well, we didn't communicate well, and that led to a lot of open buckets for Ryan. And because we were focused so hard on the other three, which, you know, good. I mean, like, that, if that's your game plan, like, make him beat us, he did that. So,
yeah.
I honestly think that's what boils down to, man. Like, a bad shooting night for him means that they lost. Not even a bad shooting night. He could have missed 3 more shots and they would have lost that game.
Yeah.
However, he didn't. Like, that's the big part. He didn't. And we didn't hit our shots. Like, Mark Mitchell wasn't effective and aggressive down low as he normally is. Why? I don't know. Ingram is that good of a defender, I guess. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
But it's just like, Mark, if you want to go to the league and you want to do all these things, like, that's an adjustment you got to make.
Yeah, and we'll talk about all that stuff in the off season, I think. I don't want to waste a lot of time talking about. No,
we're not belaboring that point.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
biggest thing. Sorry, real quick, I just want to say, like, after the game when John was like, we were out of sync with the senior night festivities and all the other stuff. Look, man, like, if we want to get to a Final Four, the festivities there are so, it's much grander. Like, there's the halftime is longer. They got the award ceremonies and stuff that they do, all that stuff, man. Like, if we're trying to get there, then we can't be like, oh, this threw us off.
There are excuses. Yeah. There are excuses. And I get from his, you know, platform, he has to say certain things, and I get that.
Sure.
Here, we don't have to say that. Like, I fully understand Jeremy Roach going 3 for 12 and not having his best stuff. I get it. I really do.
I mean, you know, I do, and I don't. Like, it's still, like, you got to play. Yeah,
but at the same time, like, you know, if you want to be where you say that you want to be, and getting to Final Fours and winning championships, you have to learn how to handle that, and you have to learn how to – and Jeremy's been great. Like, I'm not picking on Jeremy.
No.
But, like, you have to – especially as the leader, you have to show better. And he didn't, and we lost. I as bad as we were for such large stretches of that game, I thought Tyrese played well. I thought Jared played well. I thought UNC, once kind of Jared and Proctor started getting going, their whole game plan, to me, it seemed like, okay, we're not going to let Jared and Prop to beat us. We're going to make everybody else beat us. Mm-hmm. And for the start of the second half, that was working for us because Jeremy started getting going a little bit. Flip was great in that second half, you know, for most of it. But then it just kind of 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. You know, it reverts itself every time. Every time we had a chance, we gave it right back.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to them for that. And shame on us for that.
Yeah.
But
no, it's easy.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to revisit one thing. You know, we talked about in other podcasts, where do you want the ball? Like if the ball is at the end of the game, you know, Jeremy did hit that three with ridiculous spin on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fortuitous bounce. I know what we've said on the podcast that it has to be Jeremy Roach.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be Jeremy Roach. It has to be Tyrese Proctor, but Tyrese doesn't have it in him. The reason I say it has to be Tyrese Proctor, he's 6'5". Mm-hmm. Jeremy's 6'1" on a good day and 170 pounds. Like, he got swallowed up, pause, in defensively. Like, they were trying to take him out of the nick and really difficult, really physical with him. And he's not big enough to be able to kind of withstand that for 40 minutes. You know, he can still get into the lane, but he was getting beat off the dribble. You know,
we weren't able to spread the floor for him.
No. And so, you know, the physicality, again, took us out of it. And that's why, the NCAA tournament is all about matchups.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get real lucky with our matchups because I think we run into a physical team. Mm-hmm. I think we're bound to have a really tough night. Like, we can shoot
possibly,
our way
right?
out.
Like,
we can shoot our way out of it, but I'm just saying, like, a lot of things have to go our way.
We've had some tests with physical teams in the past. I don't want this one game against our rival where we always say anything can happen and all the other stuff. I don't want that to detract from the fact that we did beat a physical Baylor team. We beat a physical Clemson team. We beat a physical UVA team, made them just look like dogs out there. Like, those are all physical teams that play a very difficult style of basketball on the defensive end, and we handled it. We made it work. And obviously those teams have changed since we played them, except for obviously UVA's been at the end of the season. But those teams have changed a little bit since we played them too, and other teams we see in the nation are going to be, they're going to be having their ups and downs too with March. Everybody's going to have it. So I think we've at least faced those teams and shown well against them. It's just a matter of kind of who is able to do what. And I mean, it has to be Mark. I think was stamped before, and then I thought we fixed it a little bit with Sean, and we didn't fix it with Sean. It has to be Mark. It's got to be Mark Mitchell having a good Mark Mitchell game, 10 plus points, effective on the boards, effective on defense. The three things you want an X factor to do. It's got to be that. It's so matchups be damned. Whoever we play, if he's effective, we're good. If he's not effective, I don't know. It'll be tough. Teams with like lengthy wing defenders and lengthy, you know, secondary post defenders and stuff. Obviously, that's gonna hurt us a little bit because I mean, you got Harrison Ingram. He's got the lengthy side of the things, and he's strong, so he's gonna be able to push you off balance and stuff, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Mark's got to play through that, man. So whatever's bugging these guys, man. Like, I mean, all the critiques of like, do we have dogs and stuff? Yes, we have guys who, and it's such a stupid thing to even argue about, and such a stupid thing to say, do we have dogs? Like, shut up. Like, it's dumb. Yes, we have guys who want to compete and try to compete. It's just sometimes I think we get lost in our own heads at times. So yeah. I think that's crucial. And in the tournament, you can't lose your cool. Like, flip, you can't lose your cool. Somebody's pushing you on the ground, you can't lose your cool and triple. Like, you know what's going to happen. Like, you can't lose your cool. Like, that, especially in March, you cannot lose your cool. Like, that's the biggest thing, man. You got to be mentally tough.
Yeah, mentally tough. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. And you have to be mentally tough for 40 minutes. You can't be mentally tough in spurts. You can't be mentally tough, you know, and wait until you're down 21-6.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be right away. And, you know, for that first 10 minutes of the game, Flip was completely out of it. You know, he wasn't aggressive. Mark wasn't aggressive. Jeremy was off his game. Sean came in, did some nice things, but he gets in foul trouble, gets pulled. You know, Tyrese, you know, I thought he was the only good player in the first half for the most part. You know, Jared did a couple of nice things, but Jared defensively, you know, was taking a little bit of a step back. But it all comes down to the same thing. You know, if we had Caleb Foster, yeah, maybe it makes a little bit of a difference, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know that makes a huge difference having him out or not. He's obviously a very important player, obviously very poised and everything. It's just the way he was playing when he went out. He wasn't aggressive, and you know, maybe the next three games he would have found it. I don't know, but we don't have him, so we can't, like, we can what if it all we want, but the fact of the matter is we don't have him, and we have other options, which should be enough to get you through a 6-game stretch in a tournament. But again, you got to be mentally tough with it, man. Like, you got to want it, you got to prove it, and they want it. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just like, you got to prove it is the main thing. You got to prove it.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants it. What are you willing to do? You know, and I thought, from the tip, I thought UNC was playing to win that game, and Duke was playing not to lose.
Yeah. And shame on UNC for not following the script. They're supposed to lose the game. They're supposed to let us come back. Shame on y'all for not following the script.
You know, and I think that was the huge difference, is that they played to win and we played not to lose. And you know, again, like that's a mentality thing. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know that John at this stage of his career knows the, but that was where Kay was a master, where he knew how to motivate. He could call.
Oh yeah, speaking of Kay, he's not allowed back for Duke UNC games anymore.
Or any game for that matter.
He can't come back.
I think he's like 1-3.
Yeah, just that Notre Dame. In that Notre Dame game, we had to win on a mark three in the corner. he's not allowed back. You can't come back. Hey, I'm sorry.
No more. I know the, you know, I know the floor is named after you, but you can't come back.
Can't go back.
But yeah, I mean, I thought that was when Kane was a master, that he knew how to motivate, and push the right buttons. And right now, I don't know. You know, I'm not there, right? So I don't know what's being said in the huddle or on practice or in the locker room. Yeah, obviously pushed a couple right buttons in the locker room because we came out much better in the second half.
Right.
So I'll give him credit for that. But there has to be something that he can – and maybe these kids just don't get it. And maybe that's it. Maybe they're not susceptible to being, you know, coached hard. Some of them are on an individual level. But as a collective, I don't think that they are. They've just shown it too many times that they lack discipline and toughness in other games, which is unfortunate.
It irks me though, right? Because like I don't know if that's, I mean, these dudes, this team has cohesion, they have chemistry. Like I don't know that they're not coachable. I don't think that's the thing. Like you saw UVA, the first 4 minutes was scripted, completely scripted, and we executed it to a T, and that's why he jumped out on them real fast. Like UNC, this UNC game, like nothing was scripted with how we ran our offense to start the game. We turned the ball over like crazy, and on the defensive side of the ball, we let Ryan get those three threes in transition. Not good, man. Not good. Like I think sometimes with our team, there's an over reliance on this is going to work itself out instead of just making it work out. Like, I think that happens to this team in some cases, especially when the moment's kind of big, man. Like we've seen it now a couple times during like in big games, TV games, all those things, like big moment games. So hopefully that remedies itself in the tournament, man. I think there's some mental fatigue or something there that is affecting us when we play some of these bigger games like this. Like,
yeah, and the regular
we gotta iron that out.
The regular season's over, so sometimes that can help. Where, okay, clean slate, everybody's 0-0, and you got two chances here, right, to do something special.
Yep.
So maybe that'll help. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, a lot of people are hard on John. He's 100% the right guy. He's been the right guy for a while. He's going to be a great coach. He does a lot of great things now, but he doesn't have the whole package yet, and that's okay. He's 36, he's 37. Like, he'll get it. I'm not worried about that. I almost wonder, and I want to get your opinion on this. I almost wonder that it can be tough for a guy that is his age in his second year to get up in players' faces and do that and put the personality of John aside. Mm-hmm. That's not his personality, but you have to take on different things as a coach. I almost wonder that he may not feel like he has the pedigree or the resume to do that at this point. You know, Coach K had 40 years. He coached the USA team. He had 5 national championships, 12 Final Fours, all that stuff. So he has the aura and the credentials to get up in your face, and you got the Coach K's doing it. I believe it. I don't know that John has that yet, and he may feel like he can't do that yet.
And he, I mean, who knows? Like, this is a, you know, we're talking about a different generation of kids, too. Right. He might not, like, doing that might not be as effective as the way it was with Kay. But these are all competitors, right? Like, at the end of the day, you should be able to say to them, like, we're going to lose this game if you don't get it together. Like, right. You need to do this, you need to do that. And, you know, I mean, they either listen or they don't. That's up to them. Like, that's right. Doesn't matter how good of a motivator you are or not. Like, so yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think he has, like, coach. That was Coach K's biggest thing, was that he was a master motivator. Like, the X's and O's side of it, he was progressive in a lot of the things he did, like implementing the three from, you know, having your big shoot threes and some of those things. Like, he brought a lot of ingenuity to the game in the college side, just watching the NBA side and bringing some things down. But I would argue that at least in this stage of their career, 2 years into each of their careers, John's a better X's and O's guy than K was.
I agree.
Like, I think that is there. I think the motivation side is the part that he has to learn. He has to get better with, and whether he doesn't feel comfortable, you're the head coach. Like, you're the head coach of Duke, so I don't care how comfortable you are with anything. Like, right. If you're not comfortable with that, get comfortable, because, like, it's time. Right. Like, you got to do it. But I mean, like, Hubert's not a get in your face yelling type of guy, and, you know, they're winning the games.
he does yell a little bit.
And I mean, like, yes, but either way, I think John has that part. I think it's okay to be critical of some of the things John does, and yeah, also say, by the same token, he is 2 years in, he is learning, and he is good. Like, he is good. Like, there's no denying that he is good at this job. Like, so let's not pretend like he's not. Let's not pretend like, oh, we need to go get Porter Moser or some of the other names I saw last night. Like, why? Like, what do you want them for? They don't have a connection to the university. They don't have the facility behind them to deal with what Duke deals with in terms of branding and all the, like, John, like, there's another side of this whole thing that John has been privy to by being the associate head coach for the past few years now, and being with Kay in this program now for a decade, essentially, as a coach. Like, there's a side of this that also is distracting to the coaching side, the off-court stuff that he is obviously killing in. Like, so why would we want to stop that momentum, man? Like, why do we want him going? Like, I guarantee you right now, you're all happy that we got Colin Malawach and Cooper Flagg and stuff. John leaves, they go too. Watch. So yeah. if you want John gone, you're going to lose these guys too. Trust me.
Yeah.
Like,
right. And,
so,
you know, be careful
what you wish for.
Yeah, and the whole, oh, well, you know, Carolina does it through the portal. You can't do it through the portal. Yeah. Like, there's credentials and things like that you have to manage.
Before,
yeah. So, like, you know, it's not as simple as you want to make it.
No.
You know, John's the right guy. No question in my mind. I'm not going to waver on that at all.
Nope.
The beauty for John, I think, is that, you know, while he has to find his way to, you know, learn how to motivate,
mm-hmm.
his mentor is the greatest motivator in all sports history. So, mm-hmm. nice mentor to have when that might be one of your weaknesses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it does come down to the players at the end of the day. You know, on individual basis, some players can be coached hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them can be coached hard.
Right.
And
right.
I think that might be kind of, like, unfortunately, when you look at it as a collective, that mm-hmm. might be a tougher thing. So I can coach you really hard, but mm-hmm. I have to kind of coddle this guy a little bit. But then I'm trying to coach the entire team hard. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a really tough juggling act to try to do. Yep. And really, like, that's what I keep coming back to. We have the talent. Mm-hmm. We have the roster. But we have these lapses with certain guys. You know, we focused on Kyle. We focused on Mark Mitchell. But we have these lapses with some of these guys. Tyrese has had it. Yep. You know, I don't know now if that can be.
Yeah, no, that's just that is certainly a red flag. Like, we talk about red flags, that's a red flag. The red flag is not being able to stay up on teams early, especially good teams. And I don't care about the Louisvilles of the world. I'm talking about good teams, not being able to put them away. That's going into the tournament where all you face is good teams. That is a red flag. That is a red flag. I think. I don't see, like, the first weekend of the tournament, we're not getting bounced in the first weekend tournament. We're too good for that. But it's that second weekend that's going to be tough. Like, as a two or a three seed, hopefully, or three seed, hopefully, I'm not going to get a two. But as a three seed, hopefully, I'll drop to a four line or whatever it is. But, you know what I mean? Like, the second weekend, that's going to be tough, man. It's obviously a team that is a top 10 caliber team. Like, it's not an easy game. So, yeah, it is what it is. Like, we got to win the games that are in front of us. Bottom line, we got to win the games that are in front of us, and whatever it's going to take to get these guys there. That's the biggest part. That's crucial. So
yeah, and as much as it sucks to lose to Carolina, to get swept, they got the bragging race for the next year. I guess the other part of that is the season's not over.
No, it's not over.
Do I have more questions than I had 48 hours ago? Yeah, of course. But it's not over yet, and you got to believe in your coaching staff and hopefully that they can figure this out. I'm sure that they've been up for the last, 13, 14 hours, watching film and trying to figure out what went wrong. They work hard. I have a lot of faith in them. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the players and how much do you want it? Kyle, you're going to the NBA anyway. Leave it out on the floor for 40 minutes, not for 20. Jerry Maroche, I don't foresee him having that kind of game again. But, against tough physical people that are trying to take him out, somebody else has to step up. Yep. And Tyrese does it in spurts. He played another 40 minutes last night. He plays great defense. He shut down RJ for the second straight time. I'd like to see him be more aggressive. You're 6'5". You're athletic. Just go with it. He had one drive where he got blocked by Baycott. I thought it could have been a goaltend. I don't even care if he got blocked. Just attack. Continue attack. Him in compromising positions. Get him in where he has to make a decision. Do I foul or do I let you score? And we didn't do enough of that. We didn't. And that's where he has to say, Jeremy, you've maximized your talents with your physical abilities. I have more of those. I need to be the guy to put this on my back. Austin Rivers was there, right? And, he talked about, he put that fire video out before the game. It was fantastic, But the great thing about that shot that he hit against UNC was that Seth Curry's telling him to do all this stuff. Everybody's telling him to go to the rim. And he's like, no, he's going to win or lose with me right here. And great for us that he hit it. But we need someone on our team. And it has to be Tyrese because he's the only one with the ability to do it. Jerry's not ready for that yet. Kyle, he probably does, but it has to be your point.
Not 40 feet from the basket. Kyle's there on the baseline or on the block for you to pass to. And that might, maybe it's not traditional. Maybe it's not Tyrese just taking the ball to the hole and scoring. Maybe it's him getting the ball to a spot where he can feed Kyle or Mitchell or somebody on the baseline for an easy bucket to end the game. But it's going to be it's John's job to figure out what is it that I need to do for this team these next hopefully 9 games. That's where it is, man. So we come back to work on Thursday. Like I said, we'll have the podcast this week for the tournament when the bracket's finalized now. So we'll be able to look at the matchups and such, but this team, it's new season. Once again,
hey, wipe the slate clean, take your lumps and put it in the past and go focus on, you got two opportunities. You have two opportunities to do something special. Take them, take the first one Thursday, see what happens on Friday. I'll leave it on this one. Obviously, I didn't want to lose that game, but we got the easier side of the bracket.
Looks like it.
So, if you're looking for, we got the easier side. So, we should, we just do normal stuff. We should get there Saturday night. And maybe you face Carolina again, and there's stuff to beat teams 3 times in a row. We'll worry about that when that time comes. Is what we'll say. But right now, it's not over yet. And we still got an opportunity. We'll be back, in the next couple of days with the ACC preview tournament. And then obviously ACU Jack will be there. Maybe some other folks will be there as well. But
yeah, we're going to make it work.
It's not over yet.
Nope, it's not over, man. One game.
Take your lumps.
We had a team just 2 years ago lose to UNC on the final regular season game of the season, and they went to the Final Four. We just saw that. So same thing can happen here, man. They just got to get it together. That's all. And I think they've had it together before this game even. It's just this game got them.
Yeah, it did. But, hey, daylight savings time, get an extra hour of light. Use it. Go outside.
You're going to some grass.
Go outside, get your energy out. Tomorrow's a new day. This week's a new day. We'll be fine. We'll figure it out. Get on our Discord. Get on our Patreon. We got a lot of great stuff coming. We just did a coach's corner. The game day chat yesterday was ridiculous. Shout out to my man, B-Hodge.
B-Hodge.
Scoreboard. We're not going to make you do that again. It's over. A lot of great stuff. Check us out on Twitter. Spaces of Fire. Pre-game. Darn game. Post-game. Yeah. Check us out on Instagram. Where to find us. But AC, I want you to have the final word.
Nah, man, let's go, Duke. This is not over, man. It's not over by any stretch of the imagination. We got a whole new season coming up. We got 9 more games to really put our stamp on this thing. So, and I think we can. I still think we can. I still think we match up well. UNC is still a top 10, top 5 type team. So, they beat us. Kudos to them. Congratulations. Like they deserved it. They earned it. So it's our turn now to go out and earn something. So, and I think we can. I think, like you said, with the right matchups, we still have a chance to do something special, y'all. So stick with this team, man. Don't give it up yet. Let's go, Duke, baby.
Let's go, Duke.